Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's start off with a conditioned apology. For those that were offended, for those that thought us debating whether the Mets or the Yankees were the better team, for those that took that as somehow jinxing both of our baseball teams this weekend, leading to 3-game sweeps, we apologize. So if you're a Met fan who blames me for being, hey, the Mets are better than the Yankees, I'm sorry. If you're a Yankee fan, who blames Sean for the Yankees getting swept because he opened his big mouth and said the Yankees were better than the Mets, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but...
I'm sorry.
We're sorry. Now that we got that out of the way, let's have a very important discussion regarding our two baseball teams. There's a difference between real issues and, hey, that's baseball. It happens. Okay? Big difference. Losing 3 in a row, in the Yankees' case to the Boston Red Sox, while it sucks, it happens. In the Mets' case, losing 3 games in a row at home to the Tampa Bay Rays, it sucks, and it happens. So what we should do right now to start is to kind of peel away the differences between, hey, that's baseball, it happens, and whoa, that's a real concern. So let me start with Aaron Judge. Can I start with him?
Yes, not a concern.
Not a concern. 1 for 12 with 9 strikeouts, the one hit obviously being a cinematic home run against Garrett Crochet on
the
Friday.
In the ninth inning.
To tie the game up.
Right.
But Aaron Judge, of course, has a history of struggling in that big moment. That is a that's baseball, it happens, or real concern?
No, I think that's a baseball, it happens type of thing. He's been so unbelievable this season. It's hard to look at one series, a 3-game stretch, and say I'm concerned because it's a big moment. Because it's, look, I understand it's the rival. We had this discussion a week ago. Who is the biggest rival of the Yankees? And I think what do we fall on? The Red Sox? Is it the Red Sox?
I mean, was out that day. It's always going to be the Red Sox.
Right, but so if it is the Red Sox, was a regular season game before the All-Star break a big moment? I don't think so. So I'm going to say that's baseball, Evan.
That's baseball. I agree with you. Like, especially because the one hit he got was, let's not forget, I know it turned into a loss for a myriad of reasons, which we'll get to. That was majestic. Like, he's facing Garrett Crochet, who has shut them down all day long. And in this cinematic moment, he hits a bomb that I have not seen land yet. Like, the ball went over the Green Monster, and there's actually no physical evidence that the baseball ever landed. So if he was 1 for 12 with 9 strikeouts, and let's say the one hit was a 2-out, nobody on, bloop down the right field line, maybe you could convince me. But I look at it as a guy who's had a great year who ran into a very tough 3-game series against the Red Sox.
Yeah, I agree. It's not a big deal for Judge himself. Peaks and valleys, he wasn't going to hit 400 all year long, and I'm sure we'll get to it, but him not hitting is still a big deal when it comes to the other parts of this team.
Because of the rest of the offense? They scored four runs in this series against Boston, and it was pointed out on the YES broadcast yesterday, an amazing stat that I told my dad, and he's like, that means nothing to me. So you tell me if it means something. It's the fewest runs they've ever scored in a 3-game series at Fenway since, like, 1915, and Babe Ruth pitched for the Red Sox in the finale of that series.
Again, feels like an aberration. However, we saw 2 years ago when Judge got hurt running into that stupid curb in L.A. that the team tailed off at points offensively without him. Last year, whenever Judge slumped, including that first month of the year, remember when he didn't hit, they at least had a guy like Juan Soto who helped pick the team up. It was very alarming to see nobody in this Yankee lineup truly make up for the Judge struggles.
Yeah, that one I'll actually buy as a real issue because despite the Yankees putting up really good offensive statistics this season, what we saw over the weekend kind of reminds you of stuff we do see in October, where their bats just go completely quiet. And they went quiet outside of Crochet, who's been awesome this year. Hunter Dobbins, other than being, you know, a poor guy whose dad lied to him his entire life, he's not that good. Same thing with Bayo. So they didn't exactly get shut down by Koufax and Drysdale. So I will give you that the Yankees scoring a combined 4 runs in 3 games against the Boston Red Sox, that could be a real concern.
That's the bigger concern to me, honestly, because it's the narrative from 2 years ago when Aaron Judge had a ridiculous, his other ridiculous season when he hit 62 home runs. When he didn't hit, they didn't score. And so I don't, it's a different makeup. It's a different roster. There's no, I don't know, Aaron Hicks on this team anymore, or those wasted, I don't know, salvage type players that they
had.
Joey Gallo, et cetera. So it's not that kind of team, but that's what it felt like 2 years ago when Aaron Judge didn't hit and nobody else hit. It was, you could chalk it up to the team actually not being constructed very well.
Mm.
That's not the case this year.
Now, we've got more Yankee real issues versus that's baseball, it happens, but let's jump to the Mets. The New York Mets pitched like garbage this weekend. They got a really good start from Clay Holmes on Friday, unfortunately, and we didn't realize this until after the fact, but Clay came out of his previous start not feeling great, so Carlos Mendoza put a pitch count of 85 on him, which is why he was pulled after 5 innings on Friday night. And the bad pitching started with Paul Blackburn, who, by the way, re-enters the Met rotation in a couple of days against Atlanta. Paul Blackburn, you know what, it all over himself. Max Kranich, the same thing. Then on Saturday, Tyler McGill was atrocious. And then yesterday, Griffin Canning was atrocious. The Met starting pitching has been awesome this season.
Mm-hmm.
But is that a concern moving forward?
To me, it is. Because it's not as if we're talking like with Aaron Judge. He's had a great season. He's had a great career. We can count on him, at least in the regular season. These are upstartish type names for you if you're the Mets. We don't know what Paul Blackburn's going to be like. Griffin Canning has had a great season, but there's no long-term history of him being outstanding. And so I think it's more of a concern for the pitching for the Mets than it is for the hitting with the Yankees, simply because this is their first year of us believing or watching them go through this level of success, and now you wonder if it's sustainable.
So here's the reality. Am I concerned about Tyler McGill? Absolutely. If you look back at his last 8 starts, he's pitched to an ERA of 5.5, and
yes,
that just may be who Tyler McGill is.
Right.
Griffin Canning got off to a wonderful start this year, and outside of the Dodger game a few starts ago where he threw 6 scoreless innings, he also has come back to being maybe the guy he was in Anaheim. So I'm concerned about them, 100%. I'm concerned about what Tyler McGill is and what Griffin Canning is. But here's what I would warn you about, and here's what I would tell my fellow Met fan about concerns over those two guys. Coming into the season, Tyler McGill was not going to be in the rotation. Coming into the season, Griffin Canning maybe was going to be in the rotation.
Mm-hmm.
So this is about Sean Manaea.
Right.
This is about Frankie Montas. This is about Clay Holmes hopefully just having a hiccup from his non-recovery from his Colorado start. Tyler McGill and Griffin Canning are not guys the Mets should have to rely on in the second half of the year. So am I concerned about them individually? Sure.
Yeah.
That the pixie dust may be rubbing off. But the Mets shouldn't have to rely on those two guys in the second half of the season.
But now you're going to have to rely on Frankie Montas and Sean Manaea, who haven't pitched all season long.
Correct.
So that's the worry. The Clay Holmes thing, I'm not actually worried about. I know Colorado it does numbers on your body. I told you the story when I was out there last summer, and it was 105 degrees, and I got dehydrated, and I passed out, right? As a healthy individual, just because of you're not used to the atmosphere and the not being a mile above sea level, your body just doesn't recover the same way. So this Clay Holmes thing feels like an anomaly. The pitch count, 85 or whatever it was, he ended up pitching on over the weekend. But that
real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's, to me, that's just an anomaly. Klay Holmes is the least of the worries right now.
And it really helped that his start that he made on Friday was damn good.
Right.
It's just that they were extra cautious by taking him out early. I think Klay Holmes is certainly worthy keeping an eye on because he's now going into territory he's not used to.
Right.
Throwing many more innings than he has in a very long time. But I do think the back of the Met rotation, yeah, you should be concerned about Tyler McGill and Griffin Canning. The good news is, or the potential good news is, both guys could be replaced in the rotation in the next 2.5 weeks. Because Sean Manaea is scheduled to walk through that door. We'll see about Frankie Montas. I know he has struggled big time in his rehab starts, but those two guys were never supposed to be relied upon, and even looking at the Mets now, shouldn't be relied upon. Now let me jump back to the Yankees. All year long, I want to couch this, all year long, the New York Yankees have been better than they were last year when it comes to fundamentals, when it comes to overall defense, and when it comes to base running. Last year, Aaron Boone tried to defend the undefendable when he would say, hey, our base running hasn't been that bad. And yet every metric told you that he was BSing you. Okay, so I want that out there before we go in to what happened over the weekend. This season, the Yankee base running has mostly been good.
Right, but we just haven't paid attention to it.
No, it's been good. I won't even buy that. I pay a lot of attention to it, and I also look at the numbers. Like, they've been good at it. I can't just let it be, well, they suck. It's like, it kind of reminds me of some of the talk around Pete Alonso's defense. Ah, Pete made that big error. Mm-hmm. He must suck defensively. Not really. And I'd say the same thing about the Yankee base running. I don't think they've had a bad year. Head up their ass. I was about to say ass up the head. Either one. They haven't done that this season. With that said, what happened on Saturday with Jason Dominguez and what happened on Sunday with Ben Rice essentially contributed to them losing these games.
Of course.
They scored 4 runs in 3 days, and especially the one that really killed me was the Dominguez one in the 7th, because here the Yankees are rallying. They put it all together. They got 2 on and 2 out on Saturday night with Trent Grisham up in a 4-2 game, and Jason Dominguez doesn't have any idea what the count is, how many outs. He's confused.
Right.
So, real concern? That the base running blunders of a year ago are coming back? Or, look, it happens, it's baseball.
It's not baseball, because it's a knucklehead, moment for Jason Dominguez. But I can see how it happened. The problem is when it happened. That's why it feels like it's more egregious than it actually is because of what you were talking about. The rally, they were right there. You took yourself out of a chance to give yourself a chance. But that's just a young player losing awareness. I can't over-worry about that. Because you haven't seen it. It's not like this is something that is consistent and every single week or every other game you see Jason Dominguez doing something boneheaded like this. That's not the case. So I'm going to, again, toss this one off as an anomaly.
How about the fact that the next day, Ben Rice sort of has a similar thing happen in the 3rd inning with 1st and 2nd right. 2 outs and Jazz Chisholm up. So you had 2 egregious base running decisions that short-circuited potential rallies.
Another young player. If this was like last year where veteran guys were making dumb mistakes, you'd be concerned about it.
Mm.
But a young player making a boneheaded mistake, you hate to see it, and I hate to just dismiss it, but I'm going to dismiss it.
It's too much there over the course of 3 days to dismiss, especially Dominguez.
Too much?
Dominguez.
It was 2 instances.
You gotta pay attention.
But hold on. Before you continue, there are some, and I purposely left this out, but I will bring it up because I want to be fair.
Right.
There are some who are including Anthony Volpe's caught stealing from Friday as an egregious base running decision. I disagree with that.
Right.
I did not think that was a bad base running decision. I know Aaron Boone got very testy with the media after the game. I have to admit, I'm actually on Aaron Boone's side. We'll get more into that in a little bit.
Yeah.
But I do not lump the Volpe caught stealing on Friday with the Dominguez and the Rice boneheads from Saturday and Sunday.
Because those were boneheaded. Whereas Volpe's was he got caught.
Right. And if you swipe it, you hit a sack fly.
Right.
You know, we'll get to that in a sec. But Dominguez, pay attention, dude. You're not in your first week of the year here. This is June. Many of us want you to play more. There is no excuse at the major league level. I don't care how old you are, to basically not be aware of count out situations when you're on the base paths. That was unexcusable and brutal. And if the team didn't have fundamental,
what are you going to do? Not play him?
It's not that not pay him, play him.
Play him. What are you going to do?
Here's the issue. We went to this last year, the fundamental stuff that came back to bite him. I wanted that hammered home in spring training. If this team needs a re-hammering home in the middle of June right now, hey, you know, when you're going around hitting the cage, it's not about everybody hitting home runs. Let's work on some things. It's a base. You can't let that rear its ugly head. It was a year ago today that the Red Sox stole 9 bases on the Yankees. Okay, and that was when everybody started to pique their interest. I know it's a little different, but the fundamentals of Yankee baseball. And the Yankees, from that point forward versus Boston the rest of the year, went 44-45 the rest of the regular season. We're lucky to make the World Series, but we kept coming back to that weekend and all the fundamentals that surrounded it. This cannot be the beginning. This team hasn't padded enough of the fundamentals getting in the way of sloppy baseball the rest of the year. Work on it.
Yeah, I think the fact that there were two, and they were back-to-back, and they were both egregious decisions, would give me a little bit of a level of, uh-oh, is this coming back? Are we going to start to see the ugly, dumb baseball from a year ago return its ugly head?
I think if it was over a wider span, and you'd seen more than a couple of instances, so it was 6 or 7 times over a month, I'd be worried about it. This was just, it was a crappy weekend. Obviously.
Oh, I get you.
Obviously, because both teams got swept.
And you know what made it worse? Here's the reality. It goes back to point one with the Yankees. They didn't hit.
Yeah, right.
If they managed to score more than 4 runs in 3 games, then maybe we're not going over base running decisions with a fine-tooth comb.
And Ben Rice got his punishment anyway. Because is there any more embarrassing moment for you as a struggling hitter than DJ LeMahieu being called upon to pinch hit for you in a Yankee Red Sox game?
Right, that happened too. Now, jump back to the Mets. There's another thing that really did the Mets in over the weekend. The pitching is going to get a lot of the attention. Paul Blackburn's going to get a lot of the attention. Tyler McGill is going to get a lot of the attention. The New York Mets had 7 plate appearances with the bases loaded, combining Friday and Sunday. They lacked the big hit. And this has been a problem all season long.
Right.
The Mets' inability to consistently hit with runners in scoring position. If you look at this weekend that they just had against the Tampa Bay Rays and you combine their numbers with runners in scoring position, they were 4-for-27. If you go back to the final 2 games of the Washington series, they were 2-for-15. And this is not new. The New York Mets OPS with runners in scoring position is 20th. Now, their overall OPS is 5th.
Right.
So their lack of big hits does not fit who they are as an offense. And all year long, Tiki, I have said, whether it's here or on the Rico, I'm not concerned because they're better than this.
Yeah.
I'm not concerned because they're better than this.
But are
they? At what point do you start to say, hey, the sample size is half a season? They're just not good with hitting and runners and scoring position.
Yeah, and it's weird because there was a moment early in the season where you really worried about this. They were horrendous with, what were they hitting, 180 or something? Less than that, actually, with runners in scoring position. And now, over these last 2 series, as you just described, they're 6-for-41 with runners in scoring position. That's just, you can't win that way.
It's brutal.
It's brutal. But yet somehow they still have one of the best records in baseball.
But the reason they have one of the best records in baseball, follow it back to point one on
the
Mets,
was pitching.
Is that they've pitched out of their minds. No one expects the pitching to keep that pace. They're not finishing the year with a sub-3 ERA. That's not going to happen. So for the Mets to maintain this pace, to win the National League East, to be the team we envision that they can be, the offense, specifically hitting with runners in scoring position, needs to be better.
Right, so the pitching, you kind of could have expected to come back towards where it is right now. It's the hitting, especially with runners in scoring position, that really concerns you. So of the two issues, the latter, meaning this one, the hitting, is the one that's the more terminal, it feels
like. Well, it's the most important aspect of their team.
Yes.
Like, to me, it is not realistic to expect their pitching to continue at the level that it's been through the first 70-plus games of the season. They need their offense to be what it can be. Now, as I sit here almost at the halfway point, I try to answer the question, why do they suck with runners in scoring position? And I admit, there's a lot of bad luck involved. I have to admit that. Like, there are screaming line drives that happen to be right at guys.
Right.
I'd be lying if I ignored that. But the sample size is big enough where you say, all right, enough's enough. You know, Pete Alonso struck out with the bases loaded in a huge spot on Sunday as well as Friday. He needs to be better, even though he's had a great year all year. Guys need to be better. So my level of concern around the Mets is more so if they're going to be what they've been through the first half of the season, it's time for the offense to live up to the billing that we all had coming into the year.
Right.
And that involves consistently getting big hits, something they did not do this weekend. I get they gave up 24 runs. They gave up a lot of runs. But you know what? It's not illegal to win a game 10-9. It's not illegal to win a game 9-8. And honestly, looking at Friday and Saturday, they left opportunities out there. So as pissed off as one could be about the pitching, I look at the offense and say, hey, it's time for you guys to hold up your end of the bargain.
Right.
So I think the Yankees and the Mets were filled with things that are just baseball. It happens. You're not going to win every series. But they're also filled with those tiny little nuggets of, uh-oh.
Yeah, keep your eye out for this. This is something you might have to worry about in the long term. And honestly, it sounds the same for both. You got to hit. You got to hit in critical moments.
So, on Friday, Sean and I almost came to blows on which New York team was better. As we sit here on this Monday afternoon, who had a more concerning weekend? I put that poll out last night. I'll give you the results in a few minutes. Plus, we'll answer it. And we'll hear from you. 888-808-1019. The Mets get swept at home by Tampa. The Yankees get swept on the road in Boston. Now, the saving grace in the Yankee sweep is that a few hours after the Yankees got swept by the Red Sox and Gerrit Cole's father hit another home run against the Yankees, Gerrit Cole's dad got shipped out and he's going to San Francisco.
Get those Gerrit Cole Cy Young bets in now for next year.
We'll give you our thoughts on the impact of that move, if the Mets should have been involved in that move, and why Yankee fans better take a deep breath and not celebrate the move. Because there's something all you guys are missing about the negative towards Rafael Devers being traded away from the Boston Red Sox. Right after the Yankees got swept by the Boston Red Sox and the Mets got swept by the Tampa Bay Rays, I put out a little poll, a little social media poll. Which weekend was more concerning, the Mets weekend or the Yankees weekend? I felt that was important considering on Friday we were fighting tooth and nail on who's better, who's the best team. So I ask you, Sean, as someone who apparently ran circles around me in our debates, which team had the more concerning weekend, the New York Mets or the New York Yankees?
It has to be the New York Mets because
yes.
Does anybody believe for a second the Yankees aren't actually winning this division? The Phillies still lurk. They did sweep the Blue Jays. And the National League, as you've pointed out, is tougher and is deeper. So I think each problem separately are alarming, but I think the ultimate goals of the New York Yankees are not questioned after this weekend, where the Mets...
If you frame it, and this is very good by you, because I think you made a point that's very tough to disagree, and I won't. Which weekend more impacted the team's chances of winning the National League East or American League East? It's the Mets because right. The Phillies, to me, are bigger threats than Toronto, Tampa Bay, and Boston. So I'd agree with you if that's how you want to frame it. The way I look at a long-ass baseball season is three games and a three-game series sweep should not derail your season. It should not cause your season to go in a hell in a handbasket. It's more, were there any concerns that are going to continue to pop up that ultimately end your season? We just learned that from the Knicks. Like, the Knicks ended up having a really good regular season. As we look back on it, were there things from that regular season that would have concerned you? So if it's about the math and the division, look, I could argue you lost to a division rival.
Right.
And that's more impactful.
Well, I would. It's interesting because when you look at the divisions, yes, the Phillies are 2.5 games back, but after that, Atlanta's 13 games back.
Well, it's the Phillies, though.
Right, but it's so the Phillies are there, but it's are you really in danger of missing out on the postseason? The answer is no. And are you going to get such a threat from your division that it's going to press you on the back half of the regular season? The answer is probably no for the Mets. But it's still viable that the Red Sox could come back, or because they're only 6.5 games back, right? The AL East, every team is still in it, so to speak.
You're absolutely right, but it was not that long ago the Red Sox were not 6.5 back, and I think I was the one telling Evan, we haven't even played them yet. We could give a lot back, and here are the Yankees now, 1-5 over them. This is a big stretch coming up for the Mets now, with the Braves involved in a couple of these series. And if you're going to pinpoint problems, Judge not hitting, Yankee lineup,
the Met rotation now ahead of these games, losing Senga. Let's see how Holmes rebounds. What the hell was that from Griffin Canning? I have major issues into this tough stretch here for the Mets, a big stretch with their pitching.
Well, there's a big difference about what's next. Like, I'd argue tomorrow night's Met game in Atlanta with David Peterson on the mound, especially knowing Paul Blackburn is pitching the next day, I'd argue that tomorrow night is one of those games in June that's more important than others. I said that a lot throughout a baseball season. They all count the same, but there are certain games that feel bigger than others. And I would argue, coming off a three-game sweep at the hands of the Tampa Bay Rays, facing a three-game losing streak, facing a stretch of divisional games they're about to face, and with your best pitcher on the mound currently in David Peterson, Tuesday's a big game for the Mets. I'll totally give you that. But I think that overall, if we're being sane, and I'm going to try to be sane, I don't think Met and Yankee fans should be overly concerned about anything. Because at the end of the day, we're both really good teams that had horrible weekends. Are there certain aspects of the weekends that may pop its head later on? Absolutely. The Mets clutch hitting needs to be better. The Yankees can't run into outs like we saw Saturday and Sunday. But overall, the American League East will be won by the New York Yankees. I can promise you that. I said that to you 2 weeks ago. I don't back off it. Now, the poll results were very close. 51% were more concerned by the Yankees. 49% were more concerned by the Mets. You, Tiki Barber, as a fair arbitrator of justice, who had the more concerning weekend, the Mets or the Yankees?
It's still the Mets because of the pitching. And it was the part, like, we knew that they could that they were going to survive their hitting woes early in the season because eventually Juan Soto would start hitting, right? And Pete Alonso has been hot all year, but Lindor and everybody else, Nimmo, those guys were going to be fine. It was the pitching that you worried about. And so now that the pitching is faltering and you have a really rough stretch coming up, including the series against the Braves that's just around the corner, I feel concerned that the Mets might just lose all of this momentum despite having the second best record in all of baseball.
Well, the key is for the Mets and for the Yankees too, with the Angels coming to town, but more so with the Mets because of who they're about to face: Atlanta three times, Philly three times, four with Atlanta. The Mets need to now pump the brakes on this and not let this turn into an extended losing streak.
Right.
I spoke to you about this on Friday, that the beauty of the Mets season and the Yankee season so far is have a couple of hot streaks, and when you're not playing great baseball, play 500 baseball.
Right.
Well, right now, the Mets have entered a stretch where they've lost three in a row to Tampa Bay. They gave up more runs in three games than they have all season long by a mile. They now need to stabilize. The next 10 games, it's important to stabilize.
Right. Be 500.
Yeah.
It's good enough, honestly.
I don't think Met fans are going to want to hear me say this because they're looking at this 10-game stretch saying go 7-3, go 8-2, go 5-5. Stabilize. Take a deep breath and stabilize the situation. Don't let this become a stretch of games that gives back all the fattening they did earlier in the season. We'll get to those base-running blunders, including the debate around Anthony Volpe's decision to steal on Friday night. But the toll-free number is 888-808-1019. Chris is in Manhattan. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Evan. Hi, guys. One thing on the Mets, Evan, then I have a question for you guys. I agree. Tuesday is really important. Those pitching matchups are not great for the Mets, and those pitchers are giving the Mets problems. It's time for the Mets bat to start winning a bunch of games for them because, like we all see, the pitching is going to take a dip down. But, Evan, I want to ask you and Sean and anyone, have you noticed this year there are more balls dying on the warning track than ever? I don't know if it's just the Mets, but I would love to know if Yankee fans feel the same way. And then I saw this quote from Andrew McCutchen. Did you read that quote that he had?
Yes, and that's what do you think? So Andrew McCutchen basically revealed that the baseballs are different this season. And that became kind of a big story. Here's the tweet that Andrew McCutchen put out just a couple days ago. He writes, I was told by a rep for MLB that the balls are indeed different this year. They stated higher seams, which produces more drag on baseball, causing baseballs to not travel as far as they should.
What?
When asked why, I was told, quote, every baseball is hand-sewn, so no ball is the same. When I asked if there is something that can be done about correcting the current performance of this year's baseball, I was told there was, quote, nothing that can be done about it this season, but they're working hard on getting to the bottom of why the seams are higher. So, yeah, you're not wrong, Ben. I guess someone asked Andrew McCutchen about this, and this was the answer Andrew gave. I have to be honest, I didn't notice it watching baseball all season long. Like, I did not walk away thinking balls are dying more than normal, even though Juan Soto's hitting a lot of bad luck this season. So McCutchen, to me, made this a big story by openly saying this.
Right. I feel like I was watching a game last week where contact solid, you hear it, and like, oh man, that one's got, oh wait, it's just, that's not even to the warning track. And so you chalk it up to, oh, the weather must be, the air must be thick, whatever it is, or right, the wind is blowing in, or you're not going to get one out today because of whatever circumstance. I never even thought about it being a baseball.
There were a couple moments in Fenway this weekend that I remember sitting there going, oh, and then I was quickly reminded by people I was watching the game with, well, how could anything be wrong? We had a full-blown controversy already this season about torpedo bats and the offense being too much in baseball. Now you're going to tell me in the same season you have players openly saying the baseballs are holding balls
but,
back?
But in fairness, the torpedo discussion was crazy. It was a week into the season.
I know.
Right? And we even said, like, we tried to lower the kind of heat on that by saying it's only because the Yankees scored an absurd amount of runs over 3 days that it became a big deal. So I wouldn't use that as evidence against this.
I'm just saying, though, there are players that are able to use those. It's just crazy that we can now have two separate controversies that couldn't be more polar opposite of each other in offense and baseball this year.
No, I get it, but this is fairer because we're sitting in the middle of June and the data backs up what McCutchen said.
Right. It does feel like we're getting a lot of sound to the back. That you think something's, and you're immediately you're put back in your seat because there's a fly ball to the warning.
But you know what kills me about what Andrew said? The thing that McCutchen said that actually bothered me the most, and tell me if you agree, was when he said, no ball is the same. No ball is the same. Yeah. Well, then, you know, in the middle of a game, you may get the lucky ball that travels further or the unlucky ball that dies on the right field warning track, like Juan Soto's line drive on Friday. So, if no ball is the same, doesn't that kind of feel unfair?
Yeah, I mean, what? I mean, I guess I kind of assumed that everything was hand sewn, but there's got to be some level of quality control. Like, what if someone just jacks up a baseball? You know what I mean? Like, oh, I just got the seam and it's all jacked up. I guess you can, it'll get eliminated, but think about how many baseballs are used in an MLB season.
And you're telling me we don't
game?
Know.
In a game, right.
And in that game, we don't know which baseball you're getting. Right. You may get the baseball that ties.
How drastic can they really be? It's
That's
this
what
big,
I'm talking
Symes.
About.
That just feels like we're reaching. I refuse to believe every baseball's not the same. What are we talking about
and
here?
The drag weight? And the drag right. holds the ball in the ballpark.
Come on. It can't be that different that it's a concern.
Well, do you not believe what Andrew McCutchen said?
I think that athletes, Tiki, close your ears, sometimes yes. when struggling, uh-oh. Might reach for a little extra concern, especially in baseball. I mean, how many times has baseball been a complaint? The drag and this, that, the other. We know the size of a baseball. We know where the seams are supposed to be. You mean to tell me the balls are dying that drastically because nothing's the same?
But wait a second. Andrew McCutchen, at this point in his career, is basically putting up the same numbers he's put up 3-4 years in a row. He's right. become what he is, which is a nice partish time player. He's not doing it because he has a career low OPS. He's doing it because there are very few guys in baseball as respected as Andrew McCutchen. He was asked the question. He obviously brought it up himself to MLB officials, and he's repeating to us the answer he got, which I'm telling you, that answer kind of bothers me. Hearing that the balls are like every ball's different.
This Evan, you and I have watched baseball our whole lives. Why does it feel like every other year is another conversation about baseballs? Why do they change? Okay. What is the problem?
Do you remember, not to bring up Pete Alonso, but I am, do you remember what Pete Alonso's accusation was back in 2021 against Major League Baseball? And he said it flippantly, and he said it like it was a matter of fact.
Was it tighter? Were the baseballs tighter?
He said, he accused Major League Baseball, are you ready for this one? He accused Major League Baseball of altering the baseballs by year based on what the free agent class was the following season.
Yes, yes.
That was his accusation.
Because it was basically making an excuse for why he was having a bad year without making an excuse for why he was having a bad year.
I don't know if he was.
I mean, to me, that's how I heard that.
Well, what he was saying is in 2019, when the ball was jumping and benefited the batters, who were free agents that year? Do you guys happen to remember? I'll give you a couple names. Gerrit Cole was a free agent. Zach Wheeler was a free agent.
Okay.
There were pitchers.
Yeah, so it almost feels like it's a conspiracy.
Yes.
But in order for it to be a conspiracy, there would have to be a lot of people in on it. A lot of people.
All you need is Major League Baseball to rack the balls.
Yeah, but there's no way that doesn't come out. That's why conspiracies are really hard to justify, because too many people would have to know.
Yeah.
And eventually it would come out.
No, I get you. Look, honestly, to be truthful to the question that Chris asked, before McCutchen said anything this weekend, nothing seemed nefarious to me. As a baseball fan, as a geek, watching all these games, like nothing jumped out at me as, oh, they did something to the ball.
Blasting a ton of home runs. Aaron Judge has 27 home runs or whatever the heck it is at this point. So like, it doesn't feel...
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like, the home runs are down. So why would we even suspect that the baseballs are not just normal baseball?
Oh, because I think home runs are down, even though Aaron Judge is in a ton of them. I'd have to look at the overall numbers, but those are
they?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. I'd have to analyze it. But, hey, Andrew McCutchen just telling us the deal. Let's go to John in Maspeth. What's up, John?
Hey, John.
Hey, you know, Evan, Mets fans, I'm sorry. You know, last week you guys were crediting me for the Mets turnaround over that video.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if you saw, I did another video last week cheering on the Mets driving by Citi Field. And might have been a reverse jinx, because since then, you know, they're 1-3, they got swept, and Senga's out now for a month. So,
are you sitting here? Are you calling up talk radio again to now claim that you've re-jinxed the Mets because of your drive by Citi Field?
Yeah. I drove by cheering on the Mets, was telling people, let me see your Soto shuffle, chanting out MVP. And, you know, I was cheering on the Mets. I wanted to see the Mets do good. And I guess it just did a reverse jinx. Yeah, now the Mets are.
You're too much.
Here.
You're too much. Yeah, you're something special, John. So John in Maspeth, who hates Juan Soto, he's a diehard Yankee fan, does a drive past Citi Field with video a couple of weeks ago. It was actually May 30th. And from that moment on, after he mocked the Mets and Soto, Juan got very hot. He then does another drive-by on Friday, and now he's taking credit for re-jinxing the jinx and cooling the Mets off. And Juan Soto, who did not have the greatest weekend in the world. Now, I'll admit, he did walk a bunch of times,
right,
and he did hit a line drive that off the bat, following up the point of balls dying, died in right field. So now he's thinking he cooled off Soto in the Mets.
So who's more at blame? You two knuckleheads for fighting about who's the best team, or John from Maspeth?
Here's what I'll tell you. I'll say this to John. I'll say this to Sean. I'll say this to you, Tiki. The next 10 days are going to be very important for Juan Soto and the Mets. They just are.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have a chance if Juan breaks out in a big way, and it's not going to be easy because the Braves are throwing Spencer Schwellenbach, Chris Sale, Spencer Strider. It ain't going to be easy. But the Mets have a chance to not just bury the Atlanta Braves, but even create some room with the Philadelphia Phillies, right, including taking that tiebreaker because they won 3 games already back at Citi Field. But if Juan struggles in Atlanta, he's going to hear it from Mets fans. If Juan Soto falls into the House of Horrors cliche that this franchise has fallen into outside of game 161, he's going to face a little bit more heat. That's just the reality of it because he still hasn't fully broken out of it. He has shown great signs. He walked a bunch this weekend. He hit into some bad luck with that line drive Friday night, but we are still waiting for the explosion. And there's no better time and no better place to explode than Atlanta, Georgia.
Truist Park.
Yeah.
No truer thing could have been said.
Thank you. Thank you, Tiki. Let's go to Andy in Milford. Good afternoon, Andy.
Hey, guys. What's up? Wanted to get back to talking about your balls for a minute.
Yes.
There is quality control on the baseballs within Major League Baseball. They have what's called SPC, the Statistical Process Control, where they go off a Six Sigma rule, too. So you measure the weight, the kilograms. Everyone's made differently, like you said, but they do have upper and lower control limits for the weight, for the stitching, everything. There's like, you know, 12 critical characteristics that they have within the ball that they measure to a upper and lower control limit. Mm. So each one is different, but they're pretty much the same.
Interesting. Right, I mean, that seems logical, right? To think that every ball was as the way McCutcheon's made it sound, is it lends itself to a conspiracy about the balls. But that call was right. Like, there's no way it could be anything other than that. So it has to be quality control. Otherwise, it's not fair.
Right. Well, that's when Andrew McCutcheon worded it that way. All balls are different. That's the way it feels. Right. It sounds like, we never know what ball. You may get the lucky ball. Mm-hmm. You may get the unlucky ball. But my eyes are not perfect. None of our eyes are perfect. It's just a feeling you have watching. I haven't felt like hoodwinked by the baseballs this season. Mm-hmm. I just haven't. Now, are there some balls that fool me when I'm at the ballpark or watching on TV? Of course. Like, no doubt about it. I'll tell you the one that really fooled me the most. I'm sorry I'm bringing it up for the ninth time. But on Friday night at Mets Rays with my son, when Juan Soto hit that line drive in the eighth inning, if memory serves correct, though I did take a picture on my scorecard. So if you'd like me to tell you the exact moment it happened, Tiki, I'd be more than happy to tell you.
Yeah, why don't you tell me?
Thank you. That's game two of the series. Okay, let's go to game one of the series. Juan Soto hit that ball. I was correct. In the eighth inning. With a runner on first base or a runner on third base and two outs, down by two runs, he ripped one. And I very rarely react to balls off the bat. Mm-hmm. I'm very patient.
You stood up?
Off the bat, never stand up. Arms went up. Like, get up! And then as I see it die and nestle into the glove of Josh Lowen Wright, it was probably as fooled as I've been in a very long time at a ball off the bat. I'm not saying that's the baseball necessarily. It may just be Juan Soto's majestic swing. Mm. But that
too much
one,
topspin on it.
Maybe that one fooled me. But outside of that, I haven't sat there all year thinking, "Wow, that ball should have gotten out." How did that ball die? Adam is calling from Beacon, New York. What's up, Adam?
What's going on, fellas?
How's good?
The Mets more so, but the Yankees also need pitching help. Is Trevor Bauer completely out of the question?
Yeah, he stinks. He's not any good.
Right.
Like, I think he's actually struggling.
It's the first Trevor Bauer call in a while.
I know. Geez, and hopefully it's the last. So sick of it. Look, the reality is I think the Mets could use bullpen help. I think we saw that kind of a little bit this weekend, that the underbelly of their bullpen when they're not using their top guys like Reed Garrett and Edwin Diaz and Oscar Brazoban leaves a lot to be desired, especially a left-handed reliever. And as far as adding a starter is concerned on the Yankee end and the Met end, let's see. I mean, if Sean Manaea and Frankie Montas don't come back, or let's say Frankie Montas does come back and he's throwing BP, could there be a scenario where the Mets are looking for starting pitching help? Maybe. But I think what's going to be challenging is you look around Major League Baseball, how many teams are ready to sell guys off and how many teams will sell guys off? Because a lot of the really bad teams like Colorado and Pittsburgh aren't going to get, or Chicago, there aren't a lot of really appealing arms out there. So you kind of need the Diamondbacks to fall off. That's a really talented team where if they fall off, they could give you a lot of great pieces. You're a Yankee fan. You'd walk to Arizona to acquire Ketel Marte.
Of course I would.
Right, but they're over 500. So
And they played better 2 weeks ago, too. To kind of
No, I agree. I don't think they're going to fall out of it. And we saw what they did last year in the second half of the year. So we're sitting here in June, and other than teams like the Red Sox, who shockingly traded Rafael Devers, most teams aren't looking to sell off arms yet.
Right.
But right now, on June 16th, by the way, the day after the old trade deadline, back in the day before I understood baseball, the trade deadline was June 15th. That's when Keith Hernandez was traded. That's when George Thomas Seaver was traded. Like, that's a famous day in baseball trade history.
Imagine getting traded before we really got out of the 60s in New York.
Imagine.
That's it, the deadline.
But imagine a world in which only two teams in each league make the playoffs.
That's true as well.
Or a world in when it's 65 degrees on June 15th.
Yeah. In case you can't tell me, Tiki, you've had it with the weather.
Exactly.
Why? You don't like this fall-like weather?
No, it's terrible.
Fall-like weather?
It killed the weekend.
Who likes pumpkin picking for Father's Day? Not me.
I got to tell you, yesterday I had a great time. Outside of the Met game, me and my sons were playing baseball outside. Nice little chill in the air. I thought it was great.
Chill in the air.
Yeah, chill in
like
the air.
Like it's football season.
I want to be lobbing up SPF 50 on my nipples and hitting the pool like nobody's business.
You're going to get plenty of days like that. Why do we have to rush into 97 degrees?
Did you see Scott Hansen's tweet yesterday? Did you see it?
Scott Hansen?
Yeah. Scott Hanson sent
from
a nice
reminder. Red Zone Channel.
He tweeted, 12 Sundays till I see you. We are still in the 60s.
When you frame it that way, I understand. I'm just telling you, I didn't mind 65 degrees yesterday. I really didn't.
Nah, get 75 and higher now from this here on out, or it doesn't exist. Or we build a dome and we pump our own weather in.
I think in 2 days, the temperature's about to get to the 90s. I think we're on our way. We'll take a listen to how disgusted the Yankee radio broadcast was over the two horrible base running decisions. But first,
We knew this was coming. Giancarlo Stanton from the Yankees has been officially activated to the active roster. The corresponding move, a big DFA for Pablo Reyes.
Yeah, that seemed inevitable for poor Pablo Reyes. So Giancarlo is back, which means later on in the show, and none of us even remember what we said, we find out how accurate our Giancarlo Stanton return date predictions were when we made them back in March. So that's coming up a little bit later as well. And Yankee fans, I know you were pumped up that Rafael Devers was traded. I give you a warning on why it wasn't actually great news if you're a Yankee fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.